Let's get back to Terry's 2007 interview with actor, writer, producer Dennis Leary.
Has it been, like, oddly therapeutic to write your character of Tommy in Rescue Me? Because he has so many of the extremes of the male ego that you've written about, and probably some of which you've had, and probably some mm-hmm. of which you've tried to, like, undo. But, like, by putting all of these extremes, you know, like the fighting, the...
Yes.
The drinking, the yes. inability to have really enduring emotional relationships. And
yes.
So on. By putting that in him, can you stand back and say, I see what the problem is?
Well, it has helped me, definitely. It has helped me, certainly, in terms of grief. I lost so many people in such a short period of time, from the time my cousin was killed in that fire through 9/11, and then one of my best friends on the planet, Ted Demme, dropped dead in January of 2002, right after 9/11. It helps in that regard. It does. What's good is that the two guys I said that I based the character on are like my same age, and it's why I was talking to one of them this morning just about some very, very personal stuff, and the two of us were comparing notes on stupid things that we've done and relationships and talking about our kids and raising our kids. And the good thing is that at this age we're starting to realize what idiots we have been and are potentially capable of being again. And I think that's a thing that I was never a part of my father's generation of men. Like, you got, you know, even me, I'm talking to this really tough, great New York City firefighter, and he's telling me things, it's like I'm talking to my shrink. And he's telling me things that that are ringing bells in my head, and I'm going, yeah, you're right. We do need to be more emotionally available for the women in our lives and for our daughters and for our sons. And then I hear an alarm go off because he's at the firehouse. He's like, I'll call you back later. And he's going out on the call. So there's hope that we as men, that we will actually... I can't believe I'm 50 and just learning a lot of the stuff that I'm learning. I mean, I look back and I think, what a moron I was. I mean, what did I think?
Give me an example. You know, give me an example.
Well,
of what a moron you
I'll
were.
Give you an example. A year ago, I got into a fight with a cab driver. It was just ridiculous downtown, which ended up with nothing except him locking himself in the car and me trying to get in. And then me realizing that there are people with camera phones, and that I've achieved nothing except if I wasn't in shape, I'd probably have a heart attack. And then I was late for work. So I drove away going, now what did I gain there? My face is red. My blood pressure is high. My heart's racing. I'm angry as hell. And all I've got is a bruise on my hand and nothing else. So that, I was 48 years old when that happened. So, you know, here I am, 49 years old. Wow, did I learn a great lesson? I learned not to beat up cab drivers. By the way, you know, living in New York or London or Rome, where are you not going to want to, you know, punch a cab driver? It just makes no sense, you know? So I hope that's true. And the same thing with, I said this last night about, you know, when people are photographing you and photographers, when you're famous, you know, I found that instead of throwing a can of beans like Hugh Grant did, or kicking them or yelling or fun, it makes no sense. It's actually better to just actually turn to them and say, you know, this is kind of ridiculous. Do you really need to keep taking pictures of me as I walk down? And they kind of get shamed and they go, you're right, I don't need these pictures of you. I mean, one of my favorite things to say is, I'm not Brad Pitt. Do you think you're photographing Brad Pitt? These pictures are worth nothing. It's Dennis Leary going to get a cup of coffee. I'm guaranteeing you. Call Wire Images. It's worth 25 cents. And it seems to work. So, you know.
What was the fight with the taxi cab driver about?
All right. So now you want to get to the core of the male ego?
Yes.
I'm on my way to work. I'm driving. It's early in the morning. I'm driving to the set of Rescue Me. And, you know, this is why they really don't allow me to drive myself to work anymore, by the way. I'm driving myself to work, and there's nothing but green lights in front of us because there's no traffic. It's like, you know, it's 5:45 or something in the morning. And he's strolling along at like 10 miles an hour. He's looking to find a fare. And I beep the horn because we got four green lights in front of us. And he short brakes me. He puts the brake on, and I just miss hitting his back end. Then he speeds up to the next, it's still a green light, the next block. And I come up behind him, and he short brakes me again. So I squeal to a stop, and he goes a third time. Well, the third time, I'm not proud to say it, but it was, I think, any jury of my peers would be on my side. You know, like 12 Dennis Learys. I hit him, I tapped him from behind. And, of course, we both got out. And he started screaming and half English, half Pakistani, because he's not an American citizen. That's why I started. I was like, get your license and registration. That's when he panicked, because he didn't have one, because he's not a citizen of this country. So he locks himself in the cab. And I'm ranting and raving and ranting and raving and holding up my wallet and my license and registration, you know, wearing a 62 truck rescue me T-shirt. You know, could I have more of an advertisement? Like, I wonder who that is. So, and it went on for like 15, 20 minutes. And I probably actually, as a workout, I probably lost, you know, a few calories. But that was it. I got to work. I was pissed off. It made no sense.
That's a long time, 15 to 20 minutes.
I know, out of my life.
Think of all the traffic you were holding up while you were doing it, too.
Yeah, and, you know, here I am sometimes in a bad movie going, like, I can't believe they wasted 2 hours of my life. You know, it makes no sense. It's stupid. It's stupid. It's so stupid. And by the way, thank God my kids weren't with me so they could see how what an example their dad is for yelling and screaming at a guy who can't even understand English, you know. But I was in the right. See, there's the male ego part. I was right because there were green lights and he was, it's stupid.
Well, Dennis Leary, I wish you good luck in being mature, and it was great to talk with you. Thanks a lot.
Thanks. Bye.
Dennis Leary, speaking to Terry Gross in 2007. The fourth season of Rescue Me comes out on DVD next week. When jazz saxophonist James Carter came along in the late 1980s, he was so obviously talented and so versatile, he was hired by two trumpeters who agreed about little else, Wynton Marsalis and Lester Bowie. Then came Carter's knockout solo release, JC on the Set, so good it was hard to top. Jazz critic Kevin Whitehead says Carter's new CD shows he's still got the gift.
James Carter has always been something of a hot dog and a boaster. He radiates a joyful exhibitionism more common to top trumpeters than saxophones. Carter doesn't just play one horn well enough to make your ears pop. He made his initial rep as a tenor saxophonist, but these days he's even more acclaimed for his baritone. Fair enough. With a bigger horn, he can crank it up even more. Some folks gripe James Carter goes too far, that he clubs you over the head with his power chops. Carter's flashy, but he's not shallow. His bag of saxophone tricks pulls in influences from vaudeville novelties to the avant-garde. And he learned a lot from swing and bebop masters about how to shape a statement and navigate through fast-moving chord changes. This music's from James Carter's new album, Present Tense, a good showcase for his prodigious talents, abetted by guitarist Rodney Jones, trumpeter Dwight Adams, pianist Dee Dee Jackson, and bass and drum champs James Genus and Victor Lewis. Not content to blow you away on tenor and baritone, Carter also plays soprano sax, not too whiny, and sweet bass clarinet, as on this salute to 60s hero Eric Dolphy. Even there, Carter eventually erupts from tender balladeer into fire breather. He also plays flute, a tricky instrument for the non-specialist. But here again, he hits the mark, avoids that faint, insubstantial tone part-time flutists often get. Flute also allows for a frothy change of pace, Dodo's Bounce by bebop pianist Dodo Marmarosa. On his CD Present Tense, James Carter switches up styles, too. There are ballads, blues, a bossa nova, and a hip-hop-inflected version of 1949's Song of Delilah. Some musicians make albums where they check off different styles to verify their jazz credentials. With Carter, it's about his voracious appetites as a player and a listener. He wants to devour it all.
Kevin Whitehead teaches English and American Studies at the University of Kansas, and he's a jazz columnist for eMusic.com. He reviewed Present Tense, the new CD by James Carter.